Let's bow our heads in prayer. Oh, gracious and holy God, we do invite your presence to be here with us this day in this moment. We just want to feel your very powerful presence with us and want to know that we just need to make ourselves be like empty vessels just to be filled with your spirit and your love and your grace and your mercy and your forgiveness. And that you will do that and that you will fill us to overfull if we just make ourselves available and present. Through this message this day, may we hear that. And through the music, may we hear that this day. In the name of Jesus, amen. Title of today's message is Born to be Wild, and I think I probably should write a song with that title. But I think being a child of the 70s, I know that's already happened. 3 years ago, I had the opportunity to go away on a sabbatical for 3 months. And the opportunity came to me at a time in my life when I was feeling very caged and boxed in and depleted in my spirit. And there was really no one person to blame. There was really no one situation to point my finger at. I think it was just kind of a culmination of life, and maybe you felt like that sometime. You know, the longer we live life and do life, sometimes I think we can get to that place where we can feel rather depleted or caged. And I think that's where I was. Life can sometimes just steal the fire out of our belly. It can douse the spark of life. We can find ourselves drained and exhausted, uncertain of our purpose here in life. And oftentimes, I think much of that comes because oftentimes we try to do life in our own way and with our own energy. And I believe that's what Pentecost speaks to us a bit of about, is that reminds us from where our energy is supposed to come. As I planned my trip, I was still not so certain that I totally, at that point when I was planning, articulated what would happen to me on this trip. Because really when I planned it, I was thinking, okay, I need to plan some trips. And I knew that there were certain things on my bucket list that I could check off during this trip. And I also knew that I love animals and I love the water. So kind of made my plans around that. But as I rode for 3 weeks in Africa in a Jeep on safari with some friends, I began to be able to articulate really what God had intended in that time for me. I realized that, yeah, I do love animals. But what I really needed was I really needed to see those animals out running in the wild. I needed to see them free. I needed to see them uncaged. And that visual of those animals became for me what I understood, what I needed, and really began to even more fully understand the concept of Pentecost. Some of the pictures of animals that are up there, some of them are some that I took, and a couple of them are from the internet. But I saw all those animals and all those things. And you know what? They weren't in zoos, and they weren't in the circus, and they weren't in cages. They were just free to be out in the wild and roaming what God had intended when they were created. This is how they were supposed to live and how they were supposed to be. And I realized that was the visual of what I wanted to regain in my own spirit, in my own soul. And so I needed that. I knew that I needed that break from the usual and the busyness in order for that to happen to me. And then it was funny when I was on that trip and began to have this realization. I thought, you know, this has kind of happened to me earlier in my life too. And I'm not so sure again that I had fully articulated that for myself. About 8 years before this trip, I had made a trip to South Dakota with a friend. It was a mission trip. And we worked for a week on an Indian reservation, but chose to drive to South Dakota and then kind of just spend some time in the terrain there. It's a little bit different than Indiana. It's also different in that when you're driving through there, you really need to pay a closer attention to your gas gauge than around there. Because I'll tell you, one time I wasn't watching it real closely, and it was pretty scary for a while. But you know why I drove around there? And I looked around, and what we saw was there were horses that were running wild. You know, it almost felt like what I would read in books about the old Wild Wild West, when there'd be just packs of horses that would just go darting by. And several times as we drove throughout that terrain, we were able to see horses just running wild. No saddles, no fences, no barns. They were just out there. think today's this scripture today reminds us that God wants our spirits to be just like that. And when I talk about being wild, I don't mean like a wildfire that's totally out of control. I don't mean like sometimes I know maybe we say that we see some youth or adults and they say, man, they're just running wild, meaning that they're out of control and it's not good. And sometimes I think we think of life as wild when we're full of busyness. And in today's society, sometimes I think we think that's a good thing. It's not that kind of wild. It's the wild sense that in our spirit and in our hearts that we just feel this energy and we're just ignited and we're excited about where we are right now in that moment, what we're doing. And we just feel that just bubbling forth as if it's just that it's just pouring out of our pores. And that's what the Holy Spirit can do for us. And that's what God desires to happen. Let's talk about that first Pentecost, when this first event happened. And I want to move back a little bit even before that first Pentecost Sunday, a little back further back in history, back to Old Testament kind of times. I think there's one thing that's important for us to remember. As we talk about Pentecost and we focus so much on the Holy Spirit, it's not as if there had never been a Holy Spirit before. There has always been a Holy Spirit since the beginning of creation, because God is the Trinity. God is the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So when we talk about God the Father created the earth and all that is, in that, but what we're not necessarily saying when we say God is, our God is Trinity. And our God is always Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So when our God was creating, it was Jesus and it was the Holy Spirit, all in one. The Holy Spirit was there then at the very beginning. And so we need to remember that although in the Old Testament, you read through it, you may not see the name of Jesus, but Jesus was still there because Jesus is God. And also in the Old Testament, we have much prophecy and many words that say, that predict or tell us that there was going to be Jesus. And it's just the same with the Holy Spirit. Though the words Holy Spirit may not always be there, we can know that the Holy Spirit was a part of their lives. Moses and the children of Israel were given a taste of the Holy Spirit as they moved through the desert. We see the Holy Spirit alive in the life of Job and Nehemiah and Joseph as he gave them special insights. We see the Holy Spirit alive in Elijah and Elisha as they are men who are living their life under the direction of the Holy Spirit. Daniel was a renowned man in exile, and he was a man full of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus himself talked about the Holy Spirit and that the Holy Spirit would come as a fulfillment of God's promise with us. So the Holy Spirit came to us and was revealed to us on that Pentecost Sunday in a new and fresh way. So as we read about this experience and this moment in history, what we understand was happening in Jerusalem in that time was that there were many Israelites and Jewish people that were collected there in Jerusalem because it was a Jewish holiday. And that Jewish holiday that they were celebrating was the Festival of Weeks, an annual holiday, which continues to be for the people of the Jewish faith. And it's a time that they remember and they celebrate when they received the Torah. Moses received the Torah on Mount Sinai, and they really understood that to be the time that they were the chosen people. They knew that God had chosen them for a very special reason and had a very special purpose. So all the Jewish people were gathered in Jerusalem on this time because of this holiday. But in addition to that spirit, the disciples were still there. The disciples were amongst those people. And remember, at that time, at 40 days after the resurrection, Jesus had just risen just 10 days earlier and ascended and went to heaven. So 10 days after Ascension Sunday, they're gathered on this Pentecost, which is 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus. And they were there just waiting. in the midst of the celebration, but remembering the words that Jesus had said to them before he had ascended. And Luke reminds us about that, as he had said that they were told that they needed to stay and they needed to wait and wait for the Holy Spirit. Luke 20 in chapter 24, the words were, "So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with the power from on high." So they were in celebrating because they were Jewish men, but they were also waiting. What was this to be about? And then we have today's scripture. We have today's scripture of what happened in the midst of that moment in history. If you want to read along in your Bibles, I'll be reading from the book of Acts, chapter 2, starting with verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were together in one place, and I just told you why. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as fire appeared among them, and AJ demonstrated that for us with the children, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one had heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed. We'll pause there. All were amazed and perplexed for what they were seeing. It was something that had never been seen before. And the people observing that just really didn't know what to think about it. So they go on to say, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They're filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel." And if you remember back early in our worship service that Lori read those words from Joel, "In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh." That moment, the people were so excited that they looked drunk. And I pause and I think about it. Gosh, if that was the first Pentecost, and we continue to celebrate and remember and believe and fulfill that moment in history and that fulfillment of the Holy Spirit, what would it be like if everyone from here left worship this very day, went out wherever you're going to go, and you were so filled with the Holy Spirit and so excited that everyone say, "They must have been drunk. What did they serve at Carmel United Methodist Church?" What would it be like if that was who we were as the church following that moment? And then I believe what Luke does is, I think he realizes he has this large crowd experience going on, and I think he realizes that he needs to rein it back in a little bit. I think he feels the need to remind us what this was all about. So he pauses in verse 22, I believe, to do a bit of that. He says, "Listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders, and signs that God did through him among you, as you yourselves know, this man handed over to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by hands of those outside the law. But God raised him up, having freed him from death, because it was impossible for him to be held in its power." So he pauses and he takes a moment. Let me remind you, folks, what this all goes back to. Let me remind you about Jesus Christ and how he came and how he lived and he died and how he rose again at your hand. But it was fulfillment. It was God's plan. It was all a part of God's plan. And then also, moving on, Luke will tell us that this experience of this Pentecost was also God's plan. And what happened that day was fulfillment of his promise. In my Bible, when I skip ahead to verses 37 there, it says the first converts. What it says to us is that on that day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down, as AJ shared with us, that was the birthday of the church. That is when we were called and became, and the Spirit called us to be the church. That yes, that filling was intended for every single one of our souls so that we can be what God desires us to be, but it also was so that our souls were filled so that we can be united and we could be the church and we could be what God desired to be living and serving here on this earth. Happy birthday, church. And that's why we see these things turn to red on this day. Red is the color to remind us of that flame and of this season. So that first Pentecost was, as my Bible says, it was the time of the first converts. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him." And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. They devoted themselves to apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Let's go back and look through this scripture and see what it says to us. Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." And that day, 3,000 persons were baptized. We continue that in history because we know that is essential to what we were called to be about. Today, I love it that Confirmation Sunday is celebrated on Pentecost. Next hour, as Jim had said earlier, that we will see 19 confirmands here to make their profession of their faith and to become members of the church. But even before that, we will have 4 of those youth that will be baptized because they have not been baptized yet. As I sat and met with them yesterday, last evening at their gathering, and first of all, sat with the 4 and talked to them about baptism, this is exactly what we talk about. We talk about the reason that they are baptized is, first of all, that they remember that they are sinful persons. And I remind them, as we sat there were 4 of them, "Hey guys, it's not just the 4 of you that are sinful, I am too." And it's something that we all always work with. But it's an acknowledgement that we are sinful beings and that we need Jesus Christ to wash away our sins. Do you believe that? And so that's a question that they're asked. And do you believe that as you're filled with the Holy Spirit, that's not to be just a mountaintop kind of moment for you or a wonderful celebration that your family all come in and gather and maybe have a dinner after that day? It's so much to be so much more than that. It's intended to be a filling for a lifetime. And it's the feeling that you are to live out in your lifetime in different ways, ways and stages as God continues to equip us. And living out that as the Spirit works within us does look different at different times in our lives, because there are different things that I have done in serving and understanding that when I was 20 years younger, and that may be different than I am today. And 20 years from now, it may be a different way that I live it out, but it doesn't matter. It's still the Holy Spirit is alive within us. We are baptized, and as it said, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then there were 3,000 persons baptized. That was the beginning of the church. And right where the church was began, here is the final thing that he said. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. I have a slide to remind us. I think there's 13 or 16 different itemized scriptures or things that will just run up here that say what the Holy Spirit does and gives to us, what it provides for us. And when I stop and I think about all these scriptures that list out all the things that the Holy Spirit does for us, brings to us, gives to us, I stop and think, what else in the world, what other thing ever gives to me so much, so much, so much that it's so important that I shouldn't be so filled and so excited, and this shouldn't drive my life forward in the way that I live it out? What else? Is there anything? So as the church that has stood on the shoulders of this event many, many years ago, it is important for us to realize that it wasn't just a moment in history. It just wasn't a mountaintop experience for those 3,000. It has unfolded and added thousands and millions and billions of people along the way that, again, are filled with that Holy Spirit. And we pass that on, and we continue to grow that. And so it's important for us at this church to ask ourselves, so what does that look like? What does it look like for us to say that we are filled with the Holy Spirit, and how do we live that out? And we have determined that here, as we've said in our vision, we understand that the Holy Spirit is calling us to be connecting and growing and serving as followers of Jesus Christ. We do believe that the Holy Spirit calls us to be living that out in these ways. So when we talk about connecting with others, how can we be sharing this understanding of God's presence with us, the Spirit with us? And I for what is coming up soon, I'd like to say that an opportunity for us to share this presence of the Holy Spirit comes to us each and every year at Vacation Bible School kinds of time. I mean, what other time of the year do churches often have that number of children together as an opportunity for them to learn about the Holy Spirit, but also for us to be about the work of the Holy Spirit? You know, we have about 300 children that come here. And AJ has shared with me as they are unfolding, so many things they're preparing for that experience. And she said, you know, the one thing that we're maybe a little behind on this year is volunteers. I really don't have all the volunteers that I need yet. One thing I know about the volunteers of Vacation Bible School, as over the years I've had the opportunity to serve in so many capacities, and so many of you have, is that, you know, there are so many different things that are needed to make that experience be what it is. And I would say every single one of us sitting here, every single one of us can do something that is needed in preparation for that. All we need to do is, you know, feel the prompting of the Holy Spirit to say, you know what, this is something that I want to do to support the children and the growth of their faith in this church. So call the office, call AJ, what can I do? That's a prompting of the Holy Spirit, being aware of the need and moving upon that. We feel the prompting of the Holy Spirit when we feel within ourselves that desire to grow in our faith. And I'm a firm believer that we do have to be intentional about growing in our faith. And I know we can experience God outside in other places and at other times, and those can be deeply spiritual experiences. I understand that. But I also believe that in order to grow in our faith, in big ways that the Holy Spirit calls us to be about, I believe we need to be intentional, but we do need to connect in ways with others for that growth. And so that's why, again, I say this church is so committed to supporting that. In June, we will start a Christian parenting class, reaching out particularly to parents with young children. For 6 hours, we'll be together in three different sessions, 2 hours each. And really, as I read through the first 2 weeks of that curriculum, as those are the 2 weeks that I'll teach, it is fully about what it's like to be a parent, leading your family. And again, I believe this is the Holy Spirit working within us. How do you talk about your faith with your children? How do you live it out? How are you intentional about it? Realizing, you know, these little bundles that we've been blessed with, how can we help for them to feel the presence of God in their life at a very early stage? We also start in June a disciple Bible class for adults. And the usual disciple Bible class runs about 33 weeks. This is what they're calling a fast track. And I think it's only about 20 some weeks. And that's a time when persons in that class will gather and, yes, read the scriptures, study the scriptures together, but also will talk about how the Holy Spirit is working within their lives and where the Holy Spirit is calling them in what way to grow. And finally, as we serve together, the Holy Spirit prompts us to serve, to be much more than just about ourselves, about meeting our own needs. The Holy Spirit calls us, as we say in our vision statement, to serve the community and the world, because we are so blessed, and we have been so blessed, and have so much to give. And so when we hear about these experiences of need, the Holy Spirit will work within us, and it will not only help us to be more alert and paying attention and looking for where that need is, but also will nudge us enough that we can't just sit still. It's like we just can't stand it. And it's not enough just to say, oh, I feel it and I feel sorry. But I do believe the Holy Spirit works in our hearts to serve, to say, get up and do something. You can make a difference. And so in all those situations, that's how God's Spirit will continue to work in our lives. And God's Holy Spirit is working in every one of our lives. And a piece of what's important is for us to know that we need to be paying attention. We need to realize that the presence of the Holy Spirit is very real. And if we don't feel it, it's because we're not paying close enough attention. And that Spirit is always trying to get our attention. So my prayer for you is that as you leave this place today, that you leave more aware of this aspect of God, this Holy Spirit that's working within us, and that you pay attention to it and pay attention to those nudges, because I can guarantee you, every single one of us is nudged by the Holy Spirit. Will you bow your heads in prayer, please? Gracious and holy God, we do praise you and thank you for the way that you have been, God and the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with and for all of us. And God, I do pray for this, your church, as it is filled with the Holy Spirit, that it be ignited, to connect and grow and serve in even big and fresh ways, but that igniting happens individually in every one of our hearts, because we are the church and we hold those opportunities. In the name of Jesus, amen.